In Yani Da'ach, the long ago time, Raven was flying around looking for something to eat. He was very hungry as usual. Once, he had even been hungry the day after he finished eating a whale.
Some stories are too big to be told all at once, even if they seem small. Largeness of story has nothing to do with the length of each word or of each sentence or with the number of pages, but with the capacity of the heart, which can take only so much. This is such a story. It begins in a little-known corner of Alaska less than 2 decades after the end of the Klondike Gold Rush, one of America's last great adventures. Back then, there stood a small village at the northern edge of a great lake, surrounded on the south side by mountains and fed by a glacier. A fast-running river flows from the far eastern side of the lake. Indeed, the name for the river in the local indigenous language, Tazlina, means swift river. Don't bother to look for the village on a map. You won't find it. The people had lived in this country forever. Not forever in the sense that a farming family that has lived on the same farm for generations would use the word, but so long as to give depth and width and the smell of age to the word. More than 2 dozen families dwelled in small log houses at the edge of the lake. They weren't very tall houses, for they were built partially into the ground, which had the benefit of cooling them in summer and warming them in winter. The roofs were covered with sod, the heavy soil insulating the homes. They were abloom with weeds and wildflowers, and every green roof was adorned with weathered, gray, caribou, and moose antlers, some very large, for game was plentiful in those days. Smoke from cooking fires rose and drifted through the village, helping to drive away mosquitoes, the plague of summertime, from which there was no true escape. Racks made of willow were laden with strips of red salmon hanging to dry in the sun and wind. Little houses on tall legs stood back in the forest of black spruce. These caches, accessible only by ladder, stored dried fish and meat out of the reach of animals. Canoes were pulled up on the gravel beach. At the western edge of the village, a thin footbridge made of a fallen timber spanned a clear stream, which was full of bright red salmon. Dogs ran about barking and sniffing and searching for something to eat. Children helped their families, sons helping fathers and uncles, daughters helping mothers and aunts, or they chased the dogs along the beach or skipped rocks on the water. In such a small village, everyone was somehow related. But on such a harsh land, the amity of other villages was important. In time of famine, when the great herds of caribou did not come into the country during winter, that sense of wider community could mean the difference between life and death. Sharing in time of need is paramount in the North, where snow and quiet and darkness rule the land for half a year at a time. It is one of the most essential laws. It was in this village that the story begins. But it does not end there.